Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Friday the 13th. No, I don't believe in jinxes. No, I don't believe in superstitions. I actually don't even believe in luck. But Friday the 13th, I do love a black cat. So point me in the right direction. We know the after hours game of the week is Lions and Bills. What we're asking you is who's going to win. We hardly ever do a poll like this. I rarely ask you to guess who's going to be the winner. But I think it's interesting to gauge the response and just the pulse of the people. Who do you think is going to win? At A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well. The poll is up. I don't like the GIF. I'll have to change it after we get through this next conversation. The big topic of the week in the NFL is not even the game, so it will be by Sunday. It's Bill Belichick taking a job at UNC with 302 NFL victories and 8 Super Bowl rings, if you count the 2 that he won with the Giants as a defensive coordinator. This is the most decorated coach the NFL has ever seen. So why is he taking a job in college? That is the big question, right? And yet the more I hear of him, the more I'm sure this is legitimate.
I've always wanted to coach in football, coach in college football. And it just never really worked out. I had some good years in the NFL, so that was okay. But this is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad. As a coach of Navy for 50 years, so as a kid, all I knew was college football, and so it's great to come back home to Carolina.
I actually think his relationship with his dad, and he's raved about his dad all those years at Navy, loves college football. I think this is a major factor in him not only reaching out about this job, but also in him ultimately having this enthusiasm and anticipation and working behind the scenes now to the tune of maybe a 400-page manifesto, if you will, to figure out how to do this for the first time. You can find me online, again, at A-Law Radio or Facebook page. Weigh in about Bill Belichick now that you've seen him in Carolina Blue. And we are pleased to welcome longtime college football insider Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com. has got some good articles and reaction online, so check it out on the website. But after we hear from him directly, so Dennis, easy question. What is your reaction to Bill Belichick landing at UNC?
I think it's unique. It's fascinating. In my 35 or 40 years of covering college football, I don't know if I've seen anything like it. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Unlike Deion Sanders or Kurt Cignetti or Lane Kiffin, he does not have any college coaching experience. And when he's referring to his experience at Chapel Hill being his first two words were beat Duke. I don't know if I have much confidence in that, but it'll be a fun watch. It'll be a soap opera.
Who do you think gets the better end of the deal? Is it Bill Belichick, who's going back into coaching and says he's always wanted to coach at the college level? Or is it North Carolina that gets the better end of the deal?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? It's high risk, high reward. If it works, I think he's there for a couple of years and is successful and probably turns it over to his son, Steve, who looks like he's going to be the defensive coordinator. And then you trade one Belichick for another, and if it's successful, you move on. Also, I have a chance of running the program into the ground. I mentioned no college experience. I don't know how he's going to put up with non-professionals, even though college football is more and more like the NFL. Look, it's tough because North Carolina is a middle-of-the-road ACC program. Maybe even Bill Belichick can't rise them out of there. So we'll see. But I don't think there's any absolutes right now. It can go one of many ways.
I was looking at the ACC, thinking about SMU and some of the other ways that the conference seems wide open. It's almost like this is the right time if you're trying to grow a new power in that conference.
Well, it seemed like that in college football this year. One undefeated team, everybody in the SEC, I think one or two teams had two losses. The Big 12 is going to be wide open. If I'm Dabo Swinney or Rhett Lashley or some of the other powers in the ACC, I'm licking my chops. I'm motivated by this. But you're right. I mean, you come in at a time where the opportunity to get in can change a program if you can just get in. It's at 12 now. I do think in 2 years it's going to be 14. Well, and like Boise State this year, a top 10 team has a chance to make some noise. So I agree.
What does it cost right now to put together a winning program, whether it's NIL, whether it's the pay-to-play that's happening? What does it cost to be able to field a program that can actually compete?
To compete or win?
Win.
To win, we have the number from Ohio State, which is $20 million. That got them to the playoff. It also got them consternation with the Michigan thing, which is almost secondary. They are winning. They're 10-2. I'm hearing that Oregon very quietly put together the same amount of money for their team, maybe more. The same goes for North Carolina. They bumped up NLI money multiples of what they had before that, and now it's approaching $20 million. But look, it's what you do with the money. I thought Ohio State did a very good job. They got one of the best running back rooms in the country, one of the best receiving rooms in the country. Will Howard was a good acquisition, not great, from Kansas State. So they did okay. I mean, you have to ask their fans. They really capitalized on everything. Oregon's undefeated, number one. What is winning and succeeding for North Carolina? Can you turn it around in 1 year and win? So far in the short history of the portal, only one person's done that, Kurt Cignetti. I keep saying that. He has, to my knowledge, the best year-over-year turnaround in the short history of the portal. They go from 3-9 to 11-1 in the playoff. Can North Carolina do that? That's really the standard, and that's really the question, isn't it? Kind of a blank canvas there right now. I think Omarion Hampton, the running back who finished second in the country in rushing, is gone. Don't know their quarterback situation, but we didn't know Indiana's quarterback situation at all. So it's kind of a crapshoot in terms of answering that question. In terms of schedule, I know I'm babbling here. In terms of schedule, in that, because of the size of these conferences, schedule strength is a crapshoot because in any given year, you don't know how good or easy your schedule is going to be because you only play half the teams in those leagues.
Dennis Dodd is with us. Always good to have him to talk college football from a national perspective for CBS Sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What type of reaction have you heard from around the sport?
We had a really good piece on our site today where a few of our writers just contacted people they knew in the NFL, college agents, pro agents, and asked them anonymously for their reaction. I would say it was probably 70% negative that this would be a crash and burn scenario.
Wow.
And I think that's what you get when you promise people anonymity for their candor. And I thought it was fascinating. I would just refer people to the site, cbssports.com. For that, you know, I came down in the middle when I wrote my column. I kind of said, you know, age sucks. It especially sucks, you know, when your joints ache, everything's bad, you get sick, your vision goes. Right now, age sucks for everybody but Bill Belichick. But the only thing hindering him right now is time. He can't go on forever. That's why I say the best result of this is probably him improving the program to a point that his son not only, you know, is on the staff, but he's part of that improvement, is able to take over the program in 2 years and then succeeds himself.
He's still Bill Belichick. Does he need to have a beefier resume to go back to the NFL?
I don't think he needs a beefier resume. Nobody's won six Super Bowls. Only one person won more than 333 games. He was asked that question directly today at the press conference. And he said, I'm here, you know, and I'm here to win at North Carolina on to Richmond. I put that out there in my column. But again, he'd be 75 or 74 when he did that. And there, I think the question is answered by the NFL right now. Nobody will take him. Mm-hmm. If there was a spot open for him, he'd be hired right now. So for whatever reason, maybe people just soured on him right now at his age. I don't know. There are no spots for him in the NFL. Does that improve if he succeeds at North Carolina? It could. Don't know.
How do you like the comparison with Deion Sanders at Colorado, Dennis?
The comparison is that they are the same type of person trying to turn around a program. Two completely different approaches. I mean, Belichick is 20 years older than Deion. Deion has an entourage that films his every move, you know, including going to the bathroom. Bill is very private, very secretive, trying to get the same things. But I hope somebody like Sports Illustrated or somebody gets them in a picture before the season starts for a cover shot. You know what I mean? That would be perfect because they are linked by what they're trying to do. Do the quick turnaround in the portal and revive kind of funky, defunct programs. So I think that's the only similarity. Background, you know, age, everything else are different. I mean, you know, no NFL experience for Deion. No college experience for Belichick. They're trying to do the same thing.
Dennis Dodd with us to talk about this crazy story. I still can't get over it. Bill Belichick is going to college to be the head coach at North Carolina. And this on the heels of the first ever college football playoff bracket with 12 teams that includes SMU. How did you like the decision of SMU over Alabama, Dennis?
Yeah, I was fine with it. I mean, I was like a lot of other people. I thought that Alabama and the SEC in the history of the CFP and really the BCS had gotten every benefit of the doubt. So for them to push back at all after this happened, I thought was disingenuous. Alabama, if they don't get beat by Vandy, they're in. If they show up against Oklahoma, they're in. They didn't show up. They lost by three touchdowns. It was 6-16. There's the answer to your question. SMU, I thought, saved their season in a playoff berth by playing a heck of a fourth quarter and Clemson and getting the game into overtime or getting it down to the wire. So, and then Rhett Lashley is a coach of the year candidate at SMU. They've got great players. He did it intentionally, switching quarterbacks in midstream to Kevin Jennings, which was great. So I was fine with it. I love the diversity, if I can use that word here. You've got your obvious powers, but you've also got Arizona State. You've got SMU. You've got really an imbalance with Oregon having a tough road, inheriting Tennessee or Ohio State. Penn State having an easy road, playing SMU at home and then possibly playing, well, they would play Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl, the chance to go to the semi. So they got to get that fixed, by the way. I think that's the biggest thing here, that the bracket itself isn't balanced because they adhere to these first-round buys and, you know, conference champions automatically get in. I think something has to do there. But I think that's a minor detail at this point.
Based on what you've seen from college football this season, and we've talked about how really the playoff has got a bunch of new teams, some fresh blood, if you will, how competitive are you expecting this bracket to be?
I think it'll be very competitive. Georgia, a team a lot of people pick, has a quarterback injury with a significant elbow problem in Carson Beck. Oregon's the number one seed, the season's only undefeated team. Ohio State, for all their problems late in the season, why can't they make a run? I think Boise State playing in the Fiesta Bowl, the first round bye, and the best running back in the country has a chance to upset. So I think it's going to be great. I don't think it's going to be a traditional Final Four. I'm really interested to see what kind of toll playing four more games in a month, perhaps, for these teams to play in the first round is going to have. And look, there is no Alabama. The SEC is represented, but only three teams. The Big Ten got four, so there's a chance for some new blood.
If you had to pick a favorite, who would it be?
I picked Georgia when we made our picks. Again, they seem to be playing very well. And I think, frankly, after watching the Texas game and the SEC championship game, the team is really down behind Gunnar Stockton, the backup. I think he seems more than capable of leading this team to a championship. I mean, look, we've seen it before, right? 10 years ago, was it 10 or 11? 11 years ago. Cardale Jones, remember him, third-string quarterback nobody ever heard of. Ohio State gets in on Selection Sunday and goes on a run and wins the whole thing as a four seed. It's been done before. I think it's going to happen again.
National college football writer Dennis Dodd with us from CBS Sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. These massive conferences, the Big Ten, the SEC, there's been some rumbling about a couple of other conferences changing. After 1 year, though, what's your reaction to the way that it's played out?
One thing we didn't realize was, like, everybody's gotten bigger, right? The ACC is now, 17 teams? I don't know. The Big 12 is 16. The Big Ten is 18th. For the first time in history, we had a team finish 18th in major college football. That's never happened before.
Crazy.
I think what came out of this, nobody was looking at, is what I mentioned earlier, is the scheduling imbalance. Or as try as they might, in any given year, I'm losing my voice, in any given year, every team in those conferences is missing half the teams. They're so big. I think the number is 46% or 47%, but you know what I mean. So to say Indiana had a soft schedule is, again, being disingenuous. Nobody in July was talking about the fact that Indiana, at 3-9, was going to have to play Michigan, Ohio State, and the team that played Michigan for the national championship in Washington. Well, those three alone make it a tough schedule. It's not Indiana's fault that Michigan was down or that Washington was down. They took advantage. They were well coached. They played well. That being said, Florida had the toughest schedule in the country. Billy Napier almost got fired because of it, but went 7-5. And I said before the season, if that happened, he might deserve a contract extension. And he's coming back. Texas had a tough schedule. That's going to happen, especially in some of these deeper conferences. And I don't know how they get around that, because if they get any bigger, we'll just have more of it.
You've covered the sport a long time. Would you say it's in a better position in 2024 than, say, a decade ago? Or is it kind of getting out of control?
It's never been more entertaining, I guess, fascinating. There's always stuff for us to do. There's long ago, there's failed to be an off season. There just is not. It almost seems daily in the off season. I think it remains to be seen when we get through the House settlement, what that's going to look like. I think we're already seeing a hint of the pro model, where you can buy teams in the college. The difference is it's not regulated, where you can raise a bucket of money and go buy a team for $20 million. At least everybody in the NFL has the same salary cap. It's what you do with it.
Right.
There are teams that have no business playing major college football facing some of these other teams that are buying players. The downside of that is the players are being taken advantage of, in some cases, by the agents. The players have the power. It's not very balanced. They can leave whenever they want. This week, the week we're living in right now, the coaches are trying to re-recruit their teams to stay and then stocking them with other players from the portal. So I think that's going to be the big difference. That will rectify itself soon with either collective bargaining and or employee status. But I think the upshot of what we've seen since NIL started in July of 21, is it doesn't matter on Saturdays, Amy. It's still a great game.
Who's in charge of it, Dennis? Who's running the whole operation?
The commissioners, really the four commissioners of the four biggest conferences, ACC, Big 12, SEC, and Big 10.
Well, the good news is, as you point out, once we get to Saturdays, the fans don't care. The players are out there doing what they love. The coaches are still doing the same thing on the sidelines. And it ceases to be this massive operation. And instead, it's the game that people get sucked to year after year. So that's true. You can find Dennis online at Dennis Dodd, CBS, and some great stuff on Bill Belichick to North Carolina on CBSSports.com. Happy holidays. Thanks for joining us despite losing your voice. Good stuff, Dennis. It's good to talk to you.
Okay, Amy. Thanks so much.
How about that? Dedication, commitment. Dennis Dodd, even though he's losing his voice, and I could tell he would take these long pauses there, and you could either, maybe if you're a real pro, you know how to take a sip of water or a drink in the middle of a sentence, but I could hear him as we're talking to him, just kind of swallowing and trying to protect that voice. A lot of conversation right now around Bill Belichick, but of course the college football playoff is on the horizon. At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well, we know Lions-Bills is game of the week. We won't insult your intelligence, but we want to know when and how and where and who and what will win. Do you ever learn that when you're in second grade, third grade? You had to do a book report. You're supposed to answer the questions of who, what, when, where, how, and how much. Those are the key questions. Actually, I would love to teach an interviewing class. I'm going to start to pitch it. Along with my radio class that I already teach, in which we do one portion of the class on interviewing. But even some of the best networks, radio and TV in the country, these are legacy media. Some of them just do not know how to interview. Who, what, where, when, Who, what, where, when, how, and how much? Those are not yes-no questions. You ask a yes-no question, sometimes you'll get a yes-no answer. That includes Bill Belichick, by the way. I've heard him answer questions just simply yes or no if you set him up that way. Don't do it.
Always wanted a coach in football.
Don't walk into that trap. Right. I wanted to tell you something that I saw about streaming. As more and more we migrate to streaming as sports fans, I'm sure you're not surprised when there are price hikes. Also, love to get your reaction to some of the games on the schedule this weekend. We certainly know that Bills Lions is game of the week, but there are others that will have massive implications with a month left in the regular season. What? I feel really proud of myself. I had this whim, just this thought. Sometimes you get this thought and you follow up on it, and then sometimes you get a thought and you don't, and you wonder what could have happened. I decided it's worth my time. Since the company Christmas party was held on Thursday, late afternoon into the evening, no, neither Pete nor I attended. That would have meant being in the building 7 hours before our show began, and I would have been out of energy also.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC+, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Who in the world wants to drive into New York City on a Thursday evening? It's like you're out of your mind. Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening.
Or any evening.
Well, but this time of the year, though, they have what they call gridlock alert days. And they don't just cover the daytime hours. They also cover evenings. And partly it's because there's so many Christmas and holiday events going on in the city. Partly because Thursday is a big going out night in the city. I don't know if it's that way in other metros. But what we found out is that Thursday is really an extension of the weekend for a lot of people in New York. And then you've got people coming in for a holiday tourist visit. You've got people trying to get the heck out of Dodge before the weekend. So I'm not joking about this, and I'm not exaggerating. At 1 a.m. Eastern time, as I'm already running late because the traffic's insane. I'm trying to get into Manhattan. There was an hour plus backup at the Lincoln Tunnel to get out. An hour plus backup at the George Washington Bridge to get out. And the Holland Tunnel, it's closed at night. It's a tunnel in lower Manhattan, whatever, it doesn't matter. But you've got a bazillion people trying to get out, and you can't. It's stuck. So because of that, the cars that are trying to use city streets and the different avenues that you can get to the outbound Lincoln Tunnel, which goes under the Hudson River, they're gridlocked. So they're blocking people coming in. So I got stuck coming in through the tunnel, and then boom, ran into a line of about, I don't know, 6-7 cars at one intersection that are just parked in the middle of the intersection. You can't get through. Finally got through those because a truck was about to run them over. There's a truck who was like on his horn, probably had to deliver something. He was out of his mind. So then you get past that block and that intersection. Oh, people are going through red lights. Don't give a crap. You get to the next one, same thing, gridlocked, can't get through. So I had to take a detour, end up getting all kinds of late. And this is on top of the fact that I did not bring snacks. So Thursday nights with the traffic is insane. It would have been far worse even like 4 or 5 hours earlier. So no thanks. Neither Pete nor I attended the Christmas party. But honestly, they don't care if we were there, clearly. In 12 years, I've not attended even one of the Christmas parties here at the network. And there's a bunch of local radio stations, too. Okay, so on a whim, back to my whim, thought, I wonder if they brought the extra food or leftover snacks into our kitchen because they wouldn't throw them away. Sometimes they leave stuff there. Now, if it's sandwiches or any type of a dish that was hot, you do not want to eat it because it's been sitting out on the counters.
Unless it's in the fridge.
Well, right. No, I don't go into the fridges, but if it's sitting out on the counters, you don't want to eat it. Like cake, sometimes it's there for 24 hours. Guess what, though? Enormous bags of gourmet popcorn. So I was able to score a big bowl of movie theater butter popcorn and caramel corn.
Oh,
you need to go get some. I might actually take a bag home with me.
That's this break.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, terrific. I feel like I hit the jackpot, as cranky as I was about not having snacks. But now I'm here and I've got snacks and I'll try not to talk with my mouth full. That's all I'm saying. I can't make any promises though, because it is a Friday morning and my stomach's growling and this is just the way of the world. These instincts, sometimes they kick in, and you know me, food is my love language. All right. I wanted to pass this along before we get to this next break here in the update. I saw this online, kind of blew me away a little bit, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised anymore about the fact that prices continue to go up for YouTube, for all of your streamers, because these streaming services are paying buku bucks through the nose for rights to live sporting events. And that is the trend in streaming. Amazon, Netflix, Peacock, of course, though it's owned by NBC, YouTube with Red Zone and what's it called? NFL Sunday Ticket. These networks, I guess they're servers, they're outlets, streaming outlets, even if they're connected with a larger company, they can't afford billions of dollars in streaming rights for sports events and not raise their prices. So I'm fully expecting Amazon to raise its rate starting next year. So mine renews in February. I hope that I get grandfathered in, but it would be the second time in, 4 years, which Amazon has raised its rates. Although right now Amazon's showing up at our house like every 3 days with different Christmas stuff and stuff we need. So on Thursday, YouTube announced it's upping the price of its streaming service, the base plan, by $10 a month. That's a lot. I mean, we're not talking $10 a year, Pete. We're talking $10 a month for one streaming service.
They're heading down the road of cable in terms of that regard.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm talking about. How about this? This is what they're pointing to. The rising cost of content, which is what I just said, and other investments. The new price tag per month, $83. And that's without your taxes. Yeah. $83 a month. So can I tell you, I still have cable because you can't watch all the sports you need without cable. I have a very basic plan. I don't have all of the different sports channels. I have NFL Network, which I can't live without. I've obviously got Amazon streaming. We've got Paramount Plus, which is the CBS one. We share Disney Plus, whatever, call the cops. I don't care. The streaming police. So we share Disney Plus.
You and everyone.
Yeah. And also there's another service. So I share mine with other people and they share theirs with me, right? So I share my Paramount with other people and my mom has Fox Nation. So I share that one. So there's a lot of sharing going on, but I don't have Netflix. I don't have Peacock. I can't afford all these. I pay still. Now this is for cable and internet. We pay at our house, $124 a month for cable, all the stations that we need and also internet service. You start paying $83 a month for YouTube and you're essentially paying the same thing I'm paying for cable. And you need YouTube, but you also need other streaming services. So for existing subscribers starting in a month, exactly a month from today, $83 a month is the new price tag. Holy cannoli.
Makes no sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
For them, viewer.
The issue, though, is that there's more and more diversification among content, right? Like some of your favorite TV shows can't actually be found on a cable network. Although I will say this is just a free tip. If you wait long enough, for instance, my favorite show is SEAL Team. I mean, it's over now, but it was streaming on Paramount Plus. If I didn't have Paramount, that's actually why I got Paramount initially, is for SEAL Team. It's now out on DVD at the library. So if you wait long enough, you can get it somewhere else. But a lot of people don't want to wait. But if you watch shows on Netflix and you watch shows on Prime and you need YouTube TV, maybe you have Sling or maybe you have Peacock, you have Paramount Plus. There's Discovery out there. There's Disney Plus. There's ESPN Plus. There's no way that you aren't paying more than what I'm paying for cable and internet. All of those add up. And I don't know how people do it. Not in today's day and age. Oh my gosh.
You wonder why they're charging so much. Then you look at the Netflix games that are coming up, right? And you look at how many talents are being used on these Netflix games. I tweeted out on my personal Twix, 22 talents being used on two games for the upcoming NFL games on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's not talents. We're talking about on air. We're not talking about crew.
They're spending money hand over fist. If there's talent that many, each one has a producer, each one has a camera person. Yeah, you're talking about hundreds of people who are there working as crew.
And a good chunk of change. So that's why your rates are going up.
Yep. The cost of a new YouTube TV base plan subscription. Sorry, that sounded awkward. A new YouTube TV base plan subscription will go up to $83 starting December 12, 2024. Oh, actually, that was yesterday, right? So the new subscribers are paying $83 a month starting this month.
Ugh.
Existing will go up to $83 a month next year, early next year. And this is an increase of 10 bucks a month. Ugh. That doesn't even include taxes. So I can't afford that.
It's sick.
No way.
It's sick. Every other month, I go through this battle with myself. Over,
which ones can I get rid of? Because that's what I ask.
Right. Which ones can I get rid of? And can I do the cut? Can I get rid of cable and go to streaming?
Mm-hmm.
It never works out because like you said, there are certain networks that are on certain platforms. And you need to have a bunch of them that aren't together.
Right. So, but then you're not getting some of the other channels that you need. For instance, ESPN is not carried on all these packages, right? If you're going to watch college football, if you're going to watch college basketball, if you're going to watch NBA, you need a bunch of different outlets. And you're going to miss a ton of games if you don't have cable. And we just can't, in our business, we can't do that.
Right.
And so we can't be exclusive streaming. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people who have to make tough choices, including my family. We don't have them all. There are a lot of games I listen to on the radio because I that's the only way that I can follow them. And then you can easily get highlights on social media. Actually, pro tip, NFL Network replays every single game, every single week on their own network. You just have to know when to look for it. And also the NFL Plus subscription, which another thing I have for $100 a year, that NFL Plus, they give you access to the condensed highlight packages hours after the games are done. So there are ways to get around it, but I just don't know how people afford this stuff. It's crazy. But I have popcorn, which is free, so I feel better about my life right now.
It's all balanced, and it bounces out after that.
At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, vote not for the game of the week, but who's going to win the game of the week. And Joe and Maine will talk about Bills and Lions with you. We're going to preview, too, one of the other games that's big this weekend, Buccaneers and Chargers. I know, but they're both angling for the playoffs. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We kick off with Thursday Night Football. Rams led the Niners 9-6 in the fourth quarter, but the Niners were driving.
Play clock down to 2, down to 1. Purdy in the gun, gets the snap. Back to pass. Purdy looking, taking a shot. Deep down the right side for Jennings, and it's intercepted in the end zone. Purdy hung it in the air, and Darius Williams picked it off.
Ryan Ratke on Westwood 1. Rams beat the Niners 12-6. Joshua Carty with 4 field goals. College football, North Carolina formally introduced new head coach Bill Belichick. Former Patriots head coach always wanted to be a college football coach, but
it just never really worked out. Had some good years in the NFL, so that was okay. But this is really kind of a dream come true. I grew up in college football with my dad. As a coach of Navy for 50 years, so as a kid, all I knew was college football.
Belichick gets a 5-year deal worth $10 million a season. UNLV has named former Florida Mississippi State coach Dan Mullen as their new head coach. Colorado, 2A star Travis Hunter, the Associated Press College Football Player of the Year. Baseball, Mets formally introduced Juan Soto at a Citi Field press conference in New York. Mets signing Soto to a 15-year deal worth $765 million. NBA Kings over the Pelicans, 111-109. Domantas Sabonis, 32 points, 20 rebounds. Heat over the Raptors, 114-104. The Celtics beat the Pistons, 123-99. College basketball, number 3, Iowa State, beats Iowa, 89-80. NHL, Lightning beat the Flames, 8-3. Jake Gensel with a hat trick. Nikita Kucherov with a goal and 5 assists. Oilers top the Wild, 7-1. Leon Draisaitl with a goal and 3 assists. Brian Rust had 3 goals and an assist. The Penguins over the Canadiens, 9-2. Also, the Kraken beat the Bruins 5-1. Canucks over the Panthers, 4-0. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, sports fans, it's Jim Rome. Check us out 24/7 on your smart speaker. Just say, play Infinity Sports Network.
Chargers
will bring Tucker Fisk, one of the big tight ends, into the game. Ball at the 40-yard line. The Chargers could get a first down at the one. Herbert will line up in the shotgun. He's got Edwards to his right. Two receivers left. Davis in the slot. Palmer single man right. Herbert wants that shotgun snap. He's got it. Fakes the handoff. Back to pass. With time. Surveys the field. Looks. Throws. End zone. Man wide open. Caught for the touchdown. It's Quentin Johnston. Herbert, with plenty of time to survey the field, finds Johnston, a 40-yard touchdown pass, and suddenly the Chargers have tied the game at 13.
Third down and six, shotgun look, it's outside pass, caught by man, McMillan, to the 20, outside the numbers, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1, touchdown Tampa Bay, fire the cannons, that's the dagger, the final nail, and the Raiders will go home without a win today.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It may not have quite the cachet or nationwide intrigue as Bills and Lions. I'll give you that. But Buccaneers and Chargers, also an important game this weekend, featuring two winning teams, but also featuring two teams with designs on the playoffs. A resurgent season for the Chargers. You hear the call there with Ryan Radke on Westwood One. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Gene Deckerhoff is their longtime radio voice. Buccaneers are on top of the NFC South. If I remember correctly, they've won four division titles in a row, are trying to win their fifth, which is pretty impressive, though it's been a down stretch for that division since Drew Brees retired from New Orleans and some of the other changes. We know Carolina's gone through it, obviously. And so the Buccaneers going from Tom Brady and Bruce Arians to Todd Bowles and now Baker Mayfield. A lot has turned over, but I do love the culture they have there. And so they're fighting, scratching, clawing to try to get to another division title. Meanwhile, the Chargers, they are working on win number 9, trying to keep pace. Maybe not with the Chiefs there in the AFC West, because the Chiefs have won that division title, but with the other top contenders for wild cards in the AFC. So this is a big one as well, and I just always love Jim Harbaugh and the way he raves about other quarterbacks, not like his own, right? Because Justin Herbert, he's the best quarterback in the NFL, according to Jim, but Baker's not so shabby.
I think the thing that strikes me, about him, I mean, I think it, when you see a ton of quarterbacks try to emulate him, copy him, you know, he's that guy. He's that guy that he played. Plays his best when his best is needed most.
Interesting. Do you know that's the first time in my entire career I've ever heard anyone say that other quarterbacks try to emulate Baker Mayfield? Pete, have you ever heard that before and I just missed it? Maybe I was on vacation that week.
Yeah, they weren't saying it 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Maybe the Cleveland Browns would like to have him back, but he's unavailable. He's busy preparing for Derwin James.
They want him down and around the ball. He's a very versatile player. You know, in that kind of Kyle Hamilton hybrid safety that can do pretty much everything for him in that aspect. He's a vital piece to their defense.
A lot of players over there. I mean, the scheme is good, but you got a lot of pass rushers over there. You got some good DBs over there, and they got some decent linebackers. So they're fast, they're strong, they're solid, and they play fast.
Now, the defense for the Buccaneers will have the distinct pleasure of trying to snap a long streak by Justin Herbert without a pick. He has thrown 335 passes without an interception. And if you're keeping score at home, the fifth longest run in NFL history. So this is a big game. It's in Los Angeles. I think for the Buccaneers, they're trying to find a good rhythm here. They're trying to put together a few wins in a row. They went through a stretch where they were horror-awful, to borrow a phrase from Shaquille O'Neal. Remember, they lost four games in a row, but since then, they've beaten up on teams that are competing for the number one overall draft pick, right? Giants, Panthers, Raiders. Let's see how they do against a fellow playoff-bound team or a team that has the same designs about being in the playoffs. And as for the Chargers, this might be an opportunity for them to pick up some ground. Because think about the Chiefs. Now, again, the Chiefs have the division title, but you're trying to match up against the best teams in the NFL. And for the Chiefs, they're about to play three games in 11 days.
I mean, it's not like a good feeling. I mean, I'm excited to play on Christmas to hopefully get back from what we did last year, but you never want to play this many amount of games in this short of time. It's just not great for your body, but at the end of the day, it's your job, your profession. You have to come to work and do it.
I like that. No load management for Patrick Mahomes. So they've got Browns in Cleveland, then Texans, then on the road at the Steelers. That's the Christmas Day game. Those are the three games in 11 days. This is a chance for some teams to take shots at the Super Bowl champs. Let's talk to Joe, who's in Maine. Joe, what do you think about Bills and Lions?
Well, I'm deterred between both teams because Buffalo's a good team. They beat the Chiefs. And if they beat the Lions, it would boost their morale and their ego and whatever else. But on top of that, if Detroit wins, it helps the Chiefs out with the first seed of the playoffs.
Right. So I think for the Bills, it's not just about the intangibles, the morale, the confidence boost. It's also about they're not giving up on that number one overall seed. And even so, the seeds matter, even if it's not the number one seed. So I agree with you. There's still a lot to play for, and it is a chance for them to gauge themselves against a great talent. But they've had a tough schedule. They had to play some tough games already. Rams last week, you mentioned the Chiefs. There's a lot on the line here. The Lions defense has been decimated by some injuries, but they've had 10 days to get ready for this, and they're hosting. So I kind of feel like they have an advantage initially. Can the Bills come out and deliver the first punch? Can Josh Allen be aggressive? Can that offense take some of the pressure off its defense, which has certainly got a crazy challenge of trying to slow down that run game and also keep Jared Goff in check?
Right. So, but, like I said, I'm hoping for the Buffalo because it will help them. But I've been a Chiefs fan since 95, so I'm hoping for the third Super Bowl win.
I got you.
In a row.
I was going to say they've already got three recently, yes. But yes. All right. Well, it's going to be a fun one, Joe. So thank you for your phone call, and maybe we'll talk about it next week.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, I meant to say happy holidays. I keep forgetting to say Merry Christmas to people and happy holidays and have a great weekend. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.